Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
Lead NFL and NFL draft analyst at Bleacher Report.
In NFL, you need guys who have upside and potential, and you have to have something that kind of makes you special.
The Stick to Football Podcast.
We ain't got to talk about too much. We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Going through college and NFL film.
You need to be just an MF-er out there where you're going to put this guy on the ground every play.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Let's talk a little football with Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout at Bleacher Report. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. All right, top of mind, Bears Packers is what?
Which team are we going to see? I think for both sides, honestly, but mostly for your guys, Bears, which group is going to come out? Because I thought last Thursday night, we did like a blind review on the podcast, and I thought, man, this might be it. This might be the end of the road. If they struggle again this week against a good team, you know, a team that looks like they're going to be maybe a force earlier in the year, they've tailed off a little bit. But I was shocked last Thursday night. And so I think what we want to see this week is, okay, which Bears team are we going to get? Especially there's a lot on the line, as you guys know, as all your listeners know. I mean, you lose and your playoff chances are shot. If you win, hey, you kind of stay alive a little bit. And then you have the Chiefs coming to town the following Sunday. So I think that's what we're waiting to see. Are we going to get another four-touchdown Mitch Trubisky who's taking shots down the field and playing loose and fast and getting the ball to Allen Robinson? Or are we going to see early season Mitch where we're talking about which quarterbacks are going to be available in the second round?
I'm kind of obsessed with the defense that Mitch and the Bears are going to face here in the Green Bay Packers. They have been good. They have been bad. It's weird, though, to look at, like, Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith and Adrian Amos and the rest of the guys they added to that defense and go, the ads, the free agent ads were all pretty good. But this defense as a whole has been pretty leaky, especially when it comes to the run.
Yeah, you know, and they have a young corner, Jair Alexander, who's really, really good as well. But they have been leaky. And I think for the Packers, you know, it's a little early to talk about draft needs for them maybe. But I think middle linebacker is a huge need for them. You know, Blake Martinez is going to be a free agent. But even with him in the mix, it's a team that they can be gashed up the middle. And I think, you know, letting guys like Mike Daniels go, that might prove to be the right move in a year or two when you're talking about salary cap health. But it has affected their ability to play the run. And we haven't seen a first-rounder like Rashawn Gary be an impact, especially against the run. So that is an area where they have to get better. And I think if you're the Bears, like, that's your silver lining. It's, okay, maybe we can run the ball against this team. Maybe because of how aggressive that outside pass rush is going to be with the Smith boys, that maybe you can, you know, with RPOs or with you know, draw plays, with misdirection and counters, that you might be able to get them taking false steps upfield and then work underneath. So I think that you don't want to write the Bears off this week. You know, a lot of people I know nationally have done that. Being just south of KC, everybody's already talking about how Bears-Chiefs is going to get flexed because the Bears are going to lose this week. And I don't want to be like, wait,
it
guys.
It will if they lose. It definitely will if they lose.
Yeah, which sucks because I'm coming to that game, and I wanted to see a night game at Soldier Field. But, you know, I'm a little bit biased, so maybe I'm rooting for the Bears a little bit harder this week. But I don't think this game is as lopsided as a lot of people nationally want us to believe.
I saw your new big board that has Chase Young, edge rusher from Ohio State, at the very, very top, number one, above Joe Burrow and Jerry Jeudy and Jeff Okuda. Why didn't he have more of an individual impact in the Michigan game?
You know, they did a great job of scheming against him. They really did. And say what you want about Michigan, but they have good linemen. You know, that John Runyon and Ben Bredesen, they have good offensive linemen. And they also have a scheme where they can say, we're going to put two guys on you, whether that's a back and a tackle or a tight end or a tackle or a tackle and a guard, and we're going to work away from you. I mean, how many times that game did they run right? Or did Shea Patterson roll right? And I think had the game been closer, we probably would have seen Ohio State do some things to, you know, okay, we'll put Chase Young on the right side. Let's move him around. Let's put him in the A-gap a little bit. Let's find creative matchups for him. But because that game was so out of hand. I think you have to look at, okay, what did he do in terms of non-statistical impact? And I wouldn't even, I consider pressures to be statistical, but just what type of impact plays did he make? I still think he made plenty. And even if that's the case, like, oh man, he was a little non-existent against Michigan. He had 16 and a half sacks this year, dominated Penn State, you know, dominated Wisconsin. And so I think even with him, even if he had one down game against a really good offensive line, you got 2 years of tape of this guy being just an absolute home wrecker at defensive end. And really, for any team that doesn't need a quarterback, he should be the no-brainer top guy for them.
So Tua Tagovailoa is going to be the challenge for everybody who does what you do in setting draft boards like this. Where did you have him on the big board, the latest one, and how do you think it might change from here? How drastically do you think his injury status could change where he actually ends up going?
It's tough. It's probably one of the toughest evals I've ever had to do because there's just so much unknown. And unfortunately, there's going to be a lot unknown before that January 20 deadline for him to enter the draft or go back to Alabama. So he's really put, you know, in a really tough situation. He is number 10 right now on my board, and that is me trying to pay respect to how good he is as a football player while also being completely unaware of what his football future is. And I think anyone who proclaims to know when he's going to be healthy and what he's going to look like in the future, they're lying to you because it's just a matter of wait and see. It reminds me a lot of like Jalen Smith, and obviously not maybe the same severity, but in terms of we're going to have one of the top players in the draft go into late April, and we don't know when you're going to play again. And with Jalen, he fell to the second round. And obviously there's a great story there where the Cowboys team doctor is the one who did his knee surgery and convinced the draft room, said, hey, this guy's going to be fine. With the nerves going to fire, we're going to be good to go. We should draft him. I think with Tua, because he plays quarterback, because of the hip and not a knee, because he's not, you know, playing linebacker or running back, I do believe he'll still be a first-round pick, but that could all change. And so that's where it's tough because he has to make a decision in a little over a month, and he's going to get information from the NFL and from Coach Saban, but that information could all change in late February at the NFL Scouting Combine if we find out that the hip isn't regenerating or that there's arthritis or, you know, don't forget, it's a dude who's had two ankle injuries. So there's a lot of medical stuff with Tua that is really concerning, and we have to wait and see, basically. And this is a time where, you know, we can all, you know, say, oh, he's a great quarterback, and I think he was the best pure passer in this class, but it's just you have no idea when he's going to be back on the field or to what level he'll be back on the field.
We will have a Heisman Trophy winner Saturday evening as they convene in New York. We know who the finalists are, who's going to be on the stage there. We also can look at the odds market and see that where the money is going. There's a lot of money being spent on the favorite to win, not a whole lot. So I think that and look, I know is who I voted for. My ballot is in. How would you look at it this year?
Yeah, you and I disagreed last year, and your guy won, so we'll see how it goes this year. I was at the SEC Championship game, and watching Joe Burrow, who I saw against Texas this year, I saw against Alabama, and now seeing him against Georgia, I think the award has to go to him. And I'm not one of these, like, I'm not super strict about the rules and stuff, but I think it matters that Chase Young got a two-game suspension. You know, in the NFL, guys can't make a Pro Bowl team or an All-Pro if they've been suspended. And I think that matters. Whether we think that rule's BS or not, it's still rule. You still broke it. So for me, like, I think Chase Young's the best player in college football. I think he's the best draft prospect this year. But I think what Joe Burrow has done, an undefeated season, taking LSU and beating Alabama on the road, beating Texas on the road, beating Georgia basically in their home stadium in Atlanta, like that to me is such a great resume. And, well, at the same time, a guy who's an awesome representative of his position, of his school, and his story of, you know, last year we were talking about this guy like, oh, he might be a mid-round draft pick. He's going to be the first pick in the draft now. And I know draft stock doesn't matter when it comes to the Heisman, but I just think the improvement that we've seen, he deserves a lot of credit for that.
You know, last week, or as this week started, rather, Matt, we did a lot of talking about that San Francisco-New Orleans game and just what it meant for the NFC, what it meant for the very top of the NFL, too. A couple of teams, you know, at the top with some questions. I don't know that San Francisco has many of them. I wonder, you know, where you see them relative to the rest of the league and whether or not they're, you know, one of, if not the top three teams.
Yeah, I think they are. But I think with every team this time of year, it's not who has the most talent, it's who has the healthiest talent. And so I think with with San Francisco, you know, how they're going to come back from some injuries. You know, Richard Sherman's limited. Dee Ford has barely been on the field this year, and that was a guy they were going to rely on a lot. You know, you would hope on a stretch run. Jaquaski Tartt has been hurt. So I think it's just a matter of can they stay healthy, because if so, what they're doing offensively, what their pass rush can do is incredibly special. So I think beating New Orleans on the road is, you know, kind of a statement game. Now, the Ravens game, to barely lose that game, you know, with time expiring, you lose on a field goal in a day where the weather was absolutely terrible. I think you would say, okay, well, if those two teams meet again on a neutral site, it might be a push. So I think you have to worry about Seattle, although Russell Wilson's play has dropped off a little bit as of late. And I think you still have to worry about New England and Kansas City. Even though they're not playing their best, Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes, who is hopefully getting healthier. We'll see how the hand looks this week. And the Patriots have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, which matters in January. They might be playing terribly now, but we all know how this goes. We've been watching it for 20 years. January gets here and they're able to flip some switch, and some dude we've never heard of is going to catch 8 passes in the Super Bowl for them. So they just they have that recipe down to win, and you can never count them out, I don't think.
All right, Matt, feel better, man. It sounds like you had a rough go in the last couple of days.
It's been terrible. My son was sick, and he gave it to me, and I'm trying to power through, and I'm about to go shut myself down.
Do that. Feel better.
All the best.
Thanks, all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.